It's a great blessing and privilege to be with you this morning. Would ask you pray for me. Pray that not only would the Lord give me grace, but also physical strength, that my voice would hold out. It's been put to the ringer this weekend already, and pray the Lord would deliver in a very powerful way. I thought as I arose this morning and got ready for church and started heading this way of things that happened when I was a boy getting ready for church on a Sunday morning. It's been a long time since I've gone to church on a regular basis. It happens when I go to a meeting, but gone on a regular basis going, I wonder what we're going to hear this morning. Well, when my brother and I were very young, we used to say, I wonder what Dad's going to preach about this morning. So one Sunday, I said, I'm going to sneak into his office while he's in the shower. I'm going to see if I can find any notes or anything that kind of gives away what he's going to preach about. Well, I found something, and I took a chance. And on the way to church, I said to my brother, I said, James, I'll make a bet with you that I can guess what Dad's going to preach about this morning. He said, what do you want to bet? I said, a week's worth of laundry. He said, all right. Well, I said, Dad, what are you going to preach about this morning? He said, well, I guess the Lord only knows. I said, are you going to preach about the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world? And he looked in the rearview mirror and said, how'd you know that? And James looked at me and he said, how'd you know that? I said, you owe me laundry, buddy. Well, to show you how the Lord gets the last laugh, when we got to church that day, and I wish I could say Dad did it out of spite, but the Lord blessed him, so I'm going to take it on faith that the Lord changed his mind. The Lord changed his mind at the 11th hour. Dad started rolling through his sermon, and James leaned forward during church and said, you owe me laundry, buddy. The reason I thought about that is, as I was getting up this morning and getting ready for church, I thought to myself, I wonder what we're going to hear this morning, because I didn't know. And it happens from time to time, and open trust that what we do have this morning has been given to us by the Lord, and do ask you to pray for us in a very special way. I'd like to direct your mind and attention to the 8th chapter of Romans. I'm going to go through a stretch of this. It is not often addressed. It's not often talked about. It's very wonderful to me. It gives me a lot of peace and comfort. The verses that we want are verses 26 and 27, but we're going to start a couple of verses before in verse 24. The Apostle Paul in this lesson has been laying out the foundation that we have, the standing that and the position that we have with God. And he sort of wraps up that portion of it in verse 23 by talking about the upcoming resurrection, about the redemption of our body. And here's what he says in relation to that in verse 24. He says, for we are saved by hope. The hope that he just spoke of the coming resurrection, the hope that one day we are going to see God with these very eyes, that even though our bodies may go back to the dust, and even though we may lay in the grave for 10,000 years, one day these same bodies are going to come forth and behold the Lord with these eyes, and they're going to praise Him with these bodies. That's something that we look forward to. We haven't seen it yet, but we look forward to it. And Paul says this is the kind of hope that saves us. It's not the kind of hope that, you know, is what gets us to heaven, but it's the kind of hope that gets us through today. It's the kind of hope that gets us through tomorrow. I mean, there's a whole host of things that we go through in this world that if I didn't have hope, I would really have a hard time. I would really struggle more than I do now. But it's a very comforting thought to me that when I see a loved one who has got a body that is breaking down physically, to know that not only will that body perhaps one day go back to the dust, that same body is going to be raised, glorified, and fashioned like the glorious body of Jesus Christ. I rejoice in that. And Paul says that kind of hope saves us. It sustains us, it gives us strength, and it gives us comfort for today. And then he says, but hope that a man seeth is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for. There are a lot of things that we expect to happen that haven't happened, but once they have happened, we don't hope for them anymore. We don't have to hope for that which we see. And one day, friends, our hope will be laid aside when we see Jesus as He is, and all the things that we've looked forward to, and all the things that we have expected have come forth to realization, and right now we have to wait patiently for. Now, the reason I wanted to go through that, and I know I've talked about hope here recently, is because these next two verses, in a great way, tie what we just said to what we're about to say. Notice how verse 26 begins. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with us, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Notice how this begins. It begins with the word "likewise." That word "likewise" means in the very same manner, in the very same way in which I have just been talking about things, I'm now talking about these things. Now, the point that we need to draw from this is that a lot of us, as Old Baptists particularly, we don't really struggle. We do, but we don't struggle as much about eternity as we do with tomorrow, do we? I mean, for instance, if I was to ask all of you this morning, do you believe that your eternal life is held and bound up in the hand of God? It can never be pried from that. And then without fail, all of his children are going to live with him in heaven for all eternity. Would you say yes? Do you believe that? I believe we do. And even here right now, if I was to ask you, do you believe the Lord's going to go with you today? The Lord's going to go with you tomorrow, this week, this month, this year, and never leave you nor forsake you? You'd probably say yes to that. But how often do you struggle with knowing or with the thought of whether you're a child of God or not? We struggle with that. But how often do we struggle with that compared with struggling if we're going to get through or how we're going to get through this big whatever it is in front of us? I'll be honest with you. There's times that I, like the song, "When Thou My Righteous Judge" says, I do wonder what if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call. I do wonder that. But I don't wonder that near as much as I wonder about tomorrow. I don't struggle with that near as much as I struggle with, I wonder how that's going to turn out. I wonder how that's going to turn out. But here, Paul is directing us that with the same kind of hope and fervent patience that we look forward and yearn for the resurrection, he says, likewise, also consider this, that we don't know what it is that we should pray for, but it's okay because we have someone who helps us in that regard. You know, there's a lot of times people don't like to give the answer, I don't know. I gave up on that a long time ago. If I don't know, I don't know. If I don't know, I don't want to prove to you I don't know. I'd just rather tell you. And friends, you'd rather me tell you than prove it to you. But it's hard for us sometimes to say, well, I don't know. I mean, it's hard for us to admit there's something that we fail at. There's something that we're weak on. But friends, we need help. We're weak creatures. We have struggles. We have pains that we don't know what to do with. We don't know how to deal with, and there's even times I don't know what it is I'm supposed to say. I don't know what it is I'm supposed to do. I remember the, probably shouldn't tell this story, but I will. I remember the first time that I was, this wasn't my wife, by the way, so don't anybody look at her. I was on a date with a young woman, and she had just gone through some emotional trauma, and she was pretty broke up about it, and it just looked like that she was on fire. And she wasn't an Old Baptist, and so I couldn't, you know, go to all my Old Baptist texts to try to comfort her. I tried, and she just looked at me like I was crazy. And I felt like a fireman just sitting there trying to, you know, just pat her out. You ever been there? We just didn't know what to say. You just felt like you were just trying to pat out a fire that was right there in front of you. Well, friends, there are things that we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. We don't even know what we ought to pray for as we ought. But it says, the Spirit helpeth us with our infirmities. There is something that God has given to us that gives us the kind of help that when we don't know how to supply something, He does. For example, have you ever felt like when you were praying that you did not have even the frame of mind to just even frame what you were trying to ask God? That you just said, oh, I don't even know how to say this. I don't even know how to put this. I don't even know how to present it in a clear way. The Spirit helps with that. And you know what that gets us? That gets us something that's called liberty. In 2 Corinthians 3, in about verse 17, I believe, it says, for the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty literally means to be free. It literally means to be loosed and released. Well, friends, there are things that I am struggling with, that I'm bound with, but the Spirit of the Lord gives the liberty, the freedom, to loose those things. One of the things that you, I trust, came here this morning to find, no matter what it was that I was going to talk about, is I hope you came to find some freedom. I hope you came to find some liberty and some release from the things that you're struggling with. The Lord told some Pharisees in John chapter 8 that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you realize that you and I are blessed by knowing the truth as it is in Christ Jesus to be made free from a lot of things? I'm made free from a lot of struggles that a lot of God's children go through. I'm made free from the struggle of worrying about my family and their eternal home. I'm made free from the struggle and from the bondage of worrying about, well, I wonder if I do this or don't do that, how it's going to turn out for that. I mean, it's a struggle sometimes for me to know how it is I ought to raise my children. It really is. And the reason it is because even though they're so much like me, it seems like in some ways they came from another planet. Are your children not like that? Mine are. They'll say things and I'll say, was that English I just heard? You know, I was, as Brother Larry mentioned, I was this past few days on a church trip and I had to be the responsible one. Because I had a bunch of people that were a lot younger than I was traveling with me. I was the responsible one. Y'all don't look scared enough. You ought to be. I was the responsible. We were flying to Indiana. I was renting a car. They were riding with me. And on top of that, we were staying with Danny Wisner. You ought to be really amazed that we got home all right. Well, friends, as I was listening to them talk to each other, it kind of reminded me of how old I am. It also reminded me of how hip I never was. They'd be saying things to each other and be like, is that English that they're saying? I didn't know what they were talking about. I think it's text speak, and since I don't text speak. But anyway, my point is, you know, I look at my children, and there's things that I don't know what to do. There's things that sometimes I don't know how to say a certain thing. There's times when I feel confused. Imagine how much I would struggle if on top of that, I was worried about getting my children to heaven. I'm made free from that. I'm made free from having to worry about getting here this morning and making you right for heaven. Now, what I do struggle with, what I do have a burden about, is to set you free and to release you and give you liberty from a lot of things that you struggle with here in this life. But to do that, what do I need? I need the Spirit of the Lord, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If it's just me here this morning, you're not going to be set free. If it's just me here this morning, you're not going to have liberty. But friends, the Spirit, when it comes, it helps with us. And it gives us the answer to things that we haven't even thought about the right way to say it yet. It gives us the strength to go forward in things that we haven't even been able to put our arms around yet. And that liberty that we have, it makes us free from a lot of the bondage and a lot of the struggle that you and I have. We're coming up on a time of year when we celebrate liberty. We celebrate freedom. Well, notice what the Apostle Paul has to say about the liberty and the freedom that we have. Go with me to the book of Galatians, I think it is, 5th chapter. The Apostle Paul was writing to a church that was struggling with burdening, struggling with bondage, a bondage they put themselves in, of going back into something they'd been set free from. In Galatians 5, starting in verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith." Here Paul says, stand fast in this liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. I tell you this morning that you and I need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And what helps us with that? The Spirit does. The Spirit helps us and it releases that burden and that bondage that we have. As Paul says there in verse 5, he says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness which is by faith." We're not here, friends, to rejoice in what we've done. We're not here to talk about what we've done. We're not here to talk about how good we're living or talk about how good a people we are. We're here, friends, to talk about the kind of goodness that we've been given freely and the mercy that's been extended to us by the hand of Jesus Christ. And the way that that is testified, the way that that is rejoiced in, and the way that that is stood in, and the way that we go forward in that is through the Spirit of Almighty God. Friends, if you and I didn't have the Spirit, this would be a cold, dark, miserable world indeed. But thank God there is a light. Thank God there is a Spirit. Thank God He blows by the wind of His Spirit upon our lives and gives us refreshing and gives us the loosening that we need to go forward with things. So the Spirit helpeth with our infirmities. And it does things for us because we don't know how to pray as we ought. Now, friends, I'm going to ask you something. As much as you rejoice in hope of the coming resurrection, do you rejoice just that much in the things that the Spirit helps us with today? I'm going to be honest with you. There's times that when I'm struggling, there's times that when I'm burdened, and there's times that when I am is seemingly overwhelmed, that I have a hard time using that word likewise. To say I'm likewise looking forward to the Spirit coming to help with this as I am about the resurrection. Because what should I expect? Let's be honest. What should I expect whenever I have troubles in this world? Should I expect the Lord's help or should I not? A lot of it depends on exactly how I'm approaching it. Friends, if I'm trying to approach it in my own strength, I shouldn't. Now, thank God in His mercy, He still does help. But friends, why is it that, maybe you don't struggle with this, but I do, but why is it that we look at what's coming, or what we think is coming in our life, and we look at it with fear? We look at it with almost torment. I mean, how many of you have already heard all the stuff going around that sometime next year there's going to be a presidential election? I'm sure you've heard that. It about starts just about now from the time the last one was elected. They're already doing campaigns. You know, there are people who spend their time watching the news, worrying, struggling, tormented, just wrought up inside about, well, what happens if this person's elected? What happens if this person's elected? What happens if this happens? What happens if this happens? They look and they say, what happens if the economy dips below this point? And they look at all these different things. You know, I've heard people say, well, what if we lose 20 members in the church? Are we going to be able to go on? I've heard people say, well, you know, I was in an area this past weekend, and there's just not a lot of churches, friends. I mean, there's three churches in that fellowship, and they're all about an hour and a half from each other. We're blessed. If you want amen that, I will. We're blessed. Amen and amen. And they might look at that situation and say, well, what if one of these preachers dies? Or what if one of these preachers moves away? What are we going to do? Friends, a lot of times, my looking towards the tomorrows of my life is not with the Lord in them. I need to look forward to the tomorrows of my life expecting the Lord to be there. And if I do that, I will look forward to the Spirit coming and helping with my infirmities. It won't be a surprise. It will actually be something that I'm looking forward to. You know, there's times that, and preachers aren't immune to this, there's times preachers come to the house of God and we just come to the house of God driving going, well, I wonder if He's going to bless or not. I wonder if He's going to be there or not. Do you realize that the Lord's here even if He doesn't bless? The Lord's always here. But I want the Lord to be here and I want the Lord to bless. The Lord comes and the Lord blesses by His Spirit. And He does this in ways that we can't even describe. Notice what He says here in verse 26. He says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but for the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, the Spirit does things for us that we can't even describe. He does things for us that we can't even put into words. I was asked at some point this weekend if I could describe in words how it felt to be blessed by the Spirit when I was preaching. And I told the person that asked and the group that asked me, I said, it's really hard to describe in words for somebody who's not experienced it, because the things that I would describe might not, you know, make any sense. But I can tell you how it feels when the Spirit blesses me inside and I feel His presence when I'm listening to preaching. I don't know how it is for you, but when I'm listening to preaching, and the Spirit's there, and the Spirit is manifestly in the house, and He's working in our midst. You know what it feels like inside to me? It feels like a whoosh down inside my soul. It feels like something has just stoked that fire, like you've seen those old bellows that they would do that, and make a fire just, you know, roar up. That's what it feels like down in my soul when I really feel the Spirit. Now, the manifestation of it looks different. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we shout, sometimes we rejoice, sometimes we say amen. The manifestation may be different, but down in my soul it feels like something's just whooshed through and the Spirit has done something that I can't really describe. I mean, I'm expecting, friends, that if the Spirit comes in a month, that you and I are going to have one blessed service after another with Brother Ronald, with Brother Adam. And if that happens, you'll be able to go back to your family and your friends and say, man, we had a great church service. Man, we had a great meeting. We had a preacher from Tennessee and a preacher from Arkansas, and they just preached and they were just blessed. Well, tell me about it. Well, this one preached on this one preached on that one. And they say, well, I mean, why was it so good? Well, and then you start trying to describe how you felt. It's hard, isn't it? Hard trying to get that point across. And then you say, well, we've got a website. Go to our website and listen to it. And they go to the website and they listen to it, and they're like, what was he so excited about? So they come back and they tell you, I went and listened to it. There wasn't a whole lot there. So then you go to the website and you listen and you're like, no. That's not what it was. That ever happened to you? It's happened to me. I'll have a sermon that just sticks out to me. I know it's being recorded. I'll go back and I'll listen to it. I'm like, no. You know what the difference is? It's the content is still good. But the difference is listening to it on the website or on the internet and being in person there is a difference of the spirit and how it moves on that occasion. You just can't duplicate that. You can't record it. You can't capture it. You know, they say you can't capture lightning in a bottle. Friends, I wish I could catch a spirit in a bottle. I wish I could have it and just always be able to pull it out whenever I need it. But I can't do it. But I can tell you this. When the Spirit comes and when the Spirit does these things, He does things we can't even describe. He does things with groanings which cannot be uttered. He speaks a language in ways sometimes that we don't even yet know. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was caught up to the third heaven, I believe he was in the presence of the Spirit. He was in the presence of Almighty God. And what did he say about that? He said, I heard unspeakable words, not lawful for a man to utter. You know, there's things that God talks about with Himself that you and I just aren't capable of understanding. You and I aren't capable of speaking God's true and full language yet. Because God can speak to Himself in a way that you and I don't understand. God can talk with Himself, because the Spirit is the Lord, and talk with the Father in a way that you and I wouldn't even be able to frame into words. But these groanings, which cannot be uttered, these things that God has communication with Himself, they are a blessing to you and I, because even if we can't describe what we need, even if we can't talk to God in a way that we can frame what it is we're trying to say, the Spirit comes and it supplies all our need, and He brings it up to God, and then it reaches the hands of Jesus Christ, and as our intercessor, He makes petition to our Father, and these things that maybe you and I can't even describe, these are the very things that give us the help we need today, tomorrow, and the next day to get through all our trials and to get to the things that we need in life. And you and I should look forward to this. You and I should be in expectation of this. Likewise, we should have hope of this, just as we have hope of the resurrection. I remember years and years ago, I was a very young preacher, very young pastor. My father in the ministry, Elder Bill Walden, was still alive, and I wore that poor man out. I can still dial 1-361-293-3900 in my sleep. That was his phone number. Called him all the time. I called him one day, and I had a struggle. One of the first pastoral problems that I ever had. I had two sisters in the church who were also natural sisters who were at odds with each other. And basically they were asking me to be their referee. You know, I should have been smart enough to say, well, sisters, have y'all followed Matthew 18? They hadn't. But here's what happened when I called Brother Bill. I called Brother Bill. And I said, Brother Bill, I've got a problem. My soul was bowed down. And I said, here's the situation. The very first thing out of his mouth was one of the most unimaginable things. In a million years, I would have never guessed it. He said, Brother Philip, I can't wait to see how the Lord delivers you through this. Friends, that wasn't the answer I wanted. That wasn't the answer I thought I needed. That didn't make me feel any better. Not at the time. And I remember in tears saying, Brother Bill, I need help. He said, it's coming. And then he read to me from Romans 8, right here in this passage. He said, Brother Philip, even if you don't know what to say to it, even if you don't have the words to get out, if all you can say is, Lord, I don't know what I need. Lord, you help. He said, Brother Philip, I'm looking forward to seeing how the Lord takes care of you. And he said, I'm not saying there won't be any pain. I'm not going to tell you there won't be any trial. He said, as a matter of fact, there is going to be. Because a lot of times in situations like that, there are wounds that just need time to heal. It just needs time to close over and go away. And it never truly goes away. There may be a scar there, but it just takes time for that to heal. But he said, I'm looking forward to seeing how the Lord delivers you. I thought about that a lot in the intervening years. And I can honestly tell you, I'm not where Brother Bill was. I still don't approach my trials in life or my upcoming situations in life and say, I'm looking forward to seeing how the Lord's going to deliver me through this. I need to get there. We all do. Because, friends, we should have the same confidence and trust that He's going to get us through the tomorrows and deliver us through the strifes of the next weeks as He's going to eventually deliver us from the bondage of death when we're resurrected in His likeness. We should have that same kind of trust and that same kind of confidence. So Paul says the Spirit helpeth with our infirmities, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And notice what he says in verse 27. It says, and He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is a very important thing that Paul has said now on the heels of the Spirit helping with our infirmities. He says the Spirit searcheth the hearts. You know, there's times when I can honestly tell you that my prayers have not met the kind of fulfillment, and they haven't met the kind of end that I wanted, because the Lord knew better than I was willing to admit what was in my heart. You know, there's things that we want, there's things that we ask for, that if we're honest, they're not good for us. Now, maybe we haven't admitted that yet, we haven't come to that realization yet, but there's things that we might yearn for and desire and passionately say, Lord, I need this, and the Lord doesn't supply it because it's not good for us. I remember years ago hearing my natural father tell this story, and it didn't make any sense to me. But he told the story of when he tried to take the CPA exam and failed it time and time and time again. And he wasn't a dummy. He wasn't a slouch. But there were people out there in the accounting world that were just morons, if you'll allow me to say it that way. I can't use another word. My wife says it's a bad word. I'm not sure yet if morons. I know the Bible word's fools, so I'll just use it. They're fools. They don't know anything. And they pass that test. And I'm, you know, here's somebody who's actually got a brain, and he can't pass it. And Dad said that it was years later that he realized, had he passed that exam, and he tried and he asked the Lord to help him and it didn't happen. He said, had he passed that exam, he'd have been working such long hours, had so much responsibility laid upon him, that his efforts of serving the Lord and his people as a minister of the gospel would have suffered, and he wouldn't have fulfilled his calling as a minister like he should. I can tell you that some of the smartest men that have ever walked this earth, the world knows nothing about their intelligence, knows nothing about what they're able to do because their life has been spent in serving the kingdom of God. You know, there was a time when Elder Bill Walden was considered one of the greatest salesmen in the state of Texas in the Farm Bureau office. I mean, he was one of the first, they call him million-dollar salesman. And they told him, they said, you're never going to be prosperous. You're never going to really, really make it if you're stuck down here in Gonzales, Texas, in the middle of nowhere. You need to move to a bigger market. You need to go to Houston. You need to go to Dallas, or maybe even some bigger market than that. And you know what Brother Bill said? He said, the church I serve is right here. I'm staying right here. Now, friends, he put his career and advancement second to his service to the kingdom of God. It happens. And the Spirit knows sometimes what we haven't even thought of. It knows our heart. It knows what's good for us. I've asked for plenty of things in my life that I've never gotten because they, looking back on them, I can see they wouldn't have been good for me. You know, money fixes a lot of things, but money brings a lot of trouble too. Now, it'll help in a lot of things, but it'll bring you troubles you never thought you had. I'm not speaking from experience because you've got to have money to know that. You know, you can't know something you ain't never had. I never had it. I'm starting to learn a little bit of what I used to hear my parents say, that when they got married, they had nothing. They still got most of it. I kind of understand that now. My wife and I were broke when we got married. We still got most of it. I hope to die with some of it. Anyway, here's my point. There are things that the Spirit searches our hearts and knows. There's things that the Spirit searches our hearts and understands that even maybe we have not admitted to ourselves. Now, here's one of the things that the Spirit doesn't do. The Spirit does not make petition for requests that are something that is going to be done amiss. The Apostle James says in James 3, I believe it is, he says, ye have not because ye ask not. There's a lot of things that the Spirit has not petitioned because we haven't asked. But then he says this, he says, ye ask and have not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. There's things that we've asked the Lord for that had they been given to us, they'd have been used for the wrong reason. They'd have been used in the wrong way. And because of that, the Spirit searches the hearts. And He knows what is in the hearts. He knows the mind of the Lord. He knows what is good for the people of God. So what is it that the Spirit's looking for when we pray? And here's what we really need to focus on whenever we pray, because it's more about the position of our heart than it is about exactly if we know what it is that we need. Go with me to Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, the king, David at the time, is going through probably one of the worst situations in his life. He has come to see the error of his way with his adultery with Bathsheba, his murder of her husband Uriah. Nathan's come to him, and now he's pouring his heart out to God. He's pouring his heart out, and he's confessing his sin, asking God to help him, asking God to forgive his sin. And I want you to notice what he says here towards the end of this. I'm going to start in verse, hard to start in the middle of this. Start in verse 15, I guess. I encourage you to go read this psalm. It's not that long. In verse 15, of Psalm 51, David says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good, and in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with the burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Thou then shall they offer bullets upon thine altar. Here, David says, there are a lot of things that I would have given to you if I'd have thought that they were what you wanted. He says, you didn't want a sacrifice. You did not want me to offer up some bullet for this. You did not want me to offer up some lamb for this. He says, but the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. And friends, God has never, ever despised, and He never will despise, a broken and a contrite heart. Because what is a broken and contrite heart truly? It's one that comes to God and says unto Him, Lord, I've messed up. I know I've messed up, and I know I need your help, and without you, I can't do it. That's what David's saying. He's basically saying, Lord, if you don't help, I'm not going to make it. I need you to be able to make it. I need you to be able to go on. And friends, there's times that we don't give to God what we ought to because we have acted in such a way that we're like, Lord, if I need you, I'll call you. Lord, if I need you, I'll send word. Friends, I need Him all the time. I need Him at every moment of every hour of my life. And there should never be a season, or there should never be a time, a situation where I can say, Lord, I got this. Lord, I'll send word if I need help. Friends, a broken and contrite heart understands that without Him, I can do nothing. But with Him, I can do all things. That's what a broken and contrite heart does. And what does that do? The result of that is this. After that is done, after that is offered up unto God, then what does God receive? God receives whole burnt offerings. God receives praise. God receives all the sacrifice that we can give unto Him. But friends, it starts with an understanding of who we are. So when the Spirit sees what's in our heart, He's going to see if there's brokenness there. He's going to see if there's a contrite heart there. And if He does, what does He do? He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He knows what is right. And why does he know that? Because He does all these things according to the will of God. You know, God is never, ever going to answer a prayer that you've asked that is something that is contrary to His will. Never. Not going to happen. You know, there are times when people want to make allowances for things that if they would just look at the Word of God, you can't make allowances for. Not sure how deep I want to get into this. There are people today trying to make allowances for a lifestyle that God has never tolerated. And they're doing it in the name of God. You know how they're doing it? Well, God is love. God loves me. God made me this way. God wants me to be happy. So I'm going to be the way God made me, and I'm going to be happy because God wants me to be. That's the logic. Friends, that is foreign to the Word of God. You cannot make an allowance for something that is outside the will of God and say that it's according to God, that I have this, that I'm going to do this, that I'm going to be this way because God wants me to be happy. It does not work. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, we'll talk at lunch, all right? So that's as deep as I want to get into that. There are things that are done in this world that are not inside the will of God. They're done according to the will of man. And when we pray and the Spirit comes and we expect the Spirit to help, it needs to be because we are doing things that are in keeping with the will of God. For example, you should never worry about the Lord saying, well, I don't know if that's within my will if you pray for a good church service. You know, I mean, that's not something that's outside of His law, outside of His will. But if you're presented with something that you have to make a decision in life, and one path is ultimately against God's will, and the other one might or might not be, you can go ahead and eliminate this possibility. You know, the three Hebrew children, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, whenever they were standing before Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar gave him one more chance. He basically said, I like you guys. He said, I really like you. So I'm going to give you one more chance. I know I said you were going to go into the fiery furnace, but I'm going to give you one more opportunity. We're going to give you one more shot at it. We're going to play all this music, and if you bow down and worship my image, all's forgotten. We'll just let it all slide, pretend like it never happened. You know, a lot of us, and I realize that you may have not ever been presented with a golden image like that, but all of us are presented with idols every day of our life. Things that are going to try to get in the way between us and God. We sing a song from time to time, it's for a closer walk with God. The last verse of that says, the dearest idol that I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from its throne and worship only Thee. We're all presented with idols. May not be a literal golden image, but we want to go to the Lord and say, well, Lord, maybe today I can do this and make it through this. Or, Lord, maybe I can do that and make it through that. Here's what those three Hebrew children said. They didn't say, well, we appreciate your kindness, so kings, we're going to go back, we're going to huddle up, we're going to point someone to pray, and we're going to pray and see if the Lord will allow us to do this. That would have been the wrong thing to do because idolatry is never right. So they said, we're not careful to answer Thee in this matter, O King. In other words, we don't need to think about it. We don't need to pray about it. We know this is wrong. It's outside of the will of God. It's outside of what He has declared. And as such, we're not going to do. We're not going to bow down to Thine image. And we're trusting in the Lord who's able to deliver us out of the fire furnace. He's going to deliver us out of Thy hand. So we're not going to bow down. That's our answer. But friends, there's a lot of things that we get presented with that we just don't know, right? There's a lot of things where the answer's not clear. There's a lot of things where I'm like, well, this could be the right way to go, and this could be the right way to go, right? Do you have those choices that you have to make? Do you have those decisions you have to go through? When you have those decisions you've got to go through, when my wife and I have to make decisions about our children, we have to make decisions about this or that when it comes to their care and their upbringing. We have to decide if they're going to participate in this activity or participate in this activity. We have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what is Your will? What would be best for this situation? And if we go in an honest and a contrite heart, the Lord, through that Spirit, searches our hearts, and He maketh intercessions according to the will of God. The blessing we're going to find are things that are within His will, within His keeping, within His counsel. And what's the ultimate in all this? The ultimate in all of this should be that our lives are better off for it. Friends, your life may not be more pleasant by staying in the will of God, but your life will be better off for it. You know, there's a lot of people today that think, well, I want to be happy, so I'm going to do this, or I want to enjoy life, so I'm going to do that. There's a lot of things that may not be pleasant at the time, but your life's better off for it. Let me be a little bit intrusive this morning. Isn't your life a little better off if you eat right? I know I'm saying that right before lunch. That's bad, isn't it? Your life's better off if you eat right. You feel better. Now, you may enjoy the taste of whatever you're about. And friends, I'm going to eat dessert at lunch, all right? Don't throw this in my face at lunch. I'm just letting you know I'm having dessert. All right. But I know, and I'm willing to go through whatever stomach cramp I might get for whatever it is that I eat. But you know that if you eat right, you feel better. You know that. Now, let's be honest. Some of you may like green English peas. I don't. I think they're terrible. But pick whatever food you don't like that's healthy. You sit there and you look at it and you're like, you just don't want to eat it. You know it's good for you. You just don't want to eat it. You know, I really think children today, I don't know why I'm talking about this. I don't know why children today, they don't understand what medicine's really about. Because today they want to make medicine taste good. Medicine ain't supposed to taste good. Medicine's supposed to taste terrible. So you'll quit taking it and get better. Or you'll take it and get it over with. You know, I know children today that the medicine tastes so good, they want to keep taking it even when they're well. NyQuil is supposed to taste like green death, not all these other flavors that it has. Antibiotics are not supposed to taste like bubble gum. They're supposed to taste like castor oil. That's what they're supposed to taste like. So you'll get better. Anyway, here's my point. If you're all back with me, here's my point. So there are a lot of things we go through in life that may not be pleasant, but they're beneficial. Let's be honest. There's times when reading your Bible may not feel very pleasant, right? But it's beneficial. There's times when prayer may feel like a burden and a struggle, but it's beneficial. And there are times when serving the Lord is going to be inconvenient. There are times when following after Him in the way that we ought to go will hurt us in certain life's endeavors. But friends, I can tell you this, that everything in life that is in keeping with the will of God is always better for us, and we're always better off following it than we are not following it. And whenever you and I follow after the Spirit, and the Spirit helps us with these things, what we will find is we will find a life that is worth living. You know, there's an old saying in life that you won't just want to be alive, you actually want to be living. Well, friends, real living, real life is that which is in keeping with the will of God. And our prayer life that the Spirit helps us with, and our intercession that He goes through with us, it helps us to stay within the will of God and in keeping with God's character. One of the things that Paul will go on to say in this lesson is he'll go on in verses 28, 29, 30, and 31 to talk about God's plan of salvation. He'll go through several questions and answers in verses 32 through verse 37. But then in the last two verses, Paul asks one final question. This is one of the things that the Spirit helps us with these intercessions, and one of the things that the Spirit does for us is that the Spirit reminds us that nothing that we're praying about, nothing that we're going through, and nothing that we will ever see is going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. One of the things I need to be reminded of is that that which I'm facing right in front of me does in no way change that which I'm looking forward to some sweet day. This never changes that. Nothing, no principality, no power, no power of death, hell, the grave, no angel, no things present, no things to come, no height, no depth, no creature whatsoever. Nothing can possibly separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That makes us free. That gives us liberty. That helps us to pray. That gives us the strength. And that, friends, is something we need to be reminded of, that the Spirit reminds us of, so that whenever we groan out to God, the Spirit then groans as well, with groanings that you and I cannot describe, to help us in our infirmities. These are things that it's hard for us sometimes to think about and hold on to, but I hope that you and I will hold on to these things with the very same strength that we hold on to our hope of the resurrection. Because, friends, it's just as sure that the Spirit's going to be with us all our day. Let us look to Him in all things, and may the Spirit guide us in keeping with the will of God. May the Lord bless you, my friend.